This is 2 Peter chapter 1, starting from verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is short-sighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything we need for life and godliness. This morning marks the beginning of a new autumn preaching series entitled Growing in Maturity. And the aim is that over the next few weeks, we're going to look at ways that we can grow, ways in which we can become spiritually mature. And this passage is going to help us do that. By the time we get to Advent, I guess that you will know this passage inside, forwards, backwards, in any particular order you start to look at it. But this passage is going to help us do that week by week by week. From next week onward, we're going to look at each element that the writer mentions as a series of steps. Today, I just want us to focus in for a moment or two on those opening verses 3 and 4. Matthew started high school this week. It's amazing that when you look on the website for a picture of Point in High School, it looks green and pleasant. It doesn't look like that in real life, does it? But anyway, Matthew started high school this week. And early in the week, there was planning and shopping and all those other things to make sure that he had everything that he needs. We obviously started on the uniform bit some while ago, and bag, pencils, pens. I've probably got lots of stuff that I imagine he's never actually going to need. But because we're doting parents and the list says that you should provide these things, we have tried to provide everything that he might reasonably need and unreasonably need. And so now our little boy, who it seems, go on, who it seems only yesterday was that little boy in the special care baby unit of Mayday Hospital in Croydon, South London, when we weren't sure quite what was going to happen to him and whether or not he'd live or whether or not he wouldn't live. That little tiny baby in that little incubator with that oxygen, and them taking lumbar punches and doing all that stuff and talking about transfusing his blood and all those other things, is now off to secondary school. How it's all going to turn out is, of course, a complete and utter mystery to us, as it is to every parent. But what we have tried to do, as I guess every parent tried to do, we have tried to do the best preparation that we can. We have tried to give him all the tools that he needs. What he does with that, the Lord only knows. Peter's point in the text is that God has given us everything we need. All that we require for godly living has been bestowed on us. The image is like a king giving out of their royal bounty, or a government official giving from the treasury funds that God has given out of his divine goodness, out of his divine bounty. God has given us everything we need. Everything that we need. And everything that we need has been given to us through Jesus. It's through Christ's power, the power that Jesus Christ shares with God the Father, that Christians have been given everything that we need in order to lead a godly life. It's because of his glory and his might that we're called into a relationship with him. It's because of Jesus' ministry on earth and his death and his resurrection that we've come to this knowledge of God. God has given us everything that we need. And everything we need has been given to us through what Jesus Christ has done for us. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Do you need something in order to live a godly life? God has given you everything you need. This opening section of 2 Peter is, in fact, if you take the passage as a whole, a bit like a mini three-point series. 2 Peter was written about the same time as Jude, which actually comes a couple of pages later on in our New Testament. And 2 Peter is written sort of as a testament. It's like a farewell speech as the leader, as he leaves the stage. And it's the leader leaving the stage, trying to focus on the key elements of their work and warning to those who would oppose them. Yeah, some of us have watched pictures, I guess, of the American presidential elections and the. Well, I suppose they're not quite party conferences. I mean, we've seen Barack Obama and McCain and Palin and all the rest of it. Yeah, pitching their tent, as it were, in the public square, saying, "This is what I'm going to do. This is, you know, vote for me, and the world will be a wonderful place." I'm cynic. Well, 2 Peter is like the experienced Christian leader giving his last farewell. His last farewell talk and speech before he leaves the stage. He's an old hand now. He's seen it all. He's seen some good times and he's seen some bad times. And this is the core bit of his message. Okay, lots of scholarly ink has been spilt about the relationship between 2 Peter and Jude and whether the same person could have written 2 Peter as written 1 Peter and all the rest of it. And I know all that. And if you go away and you read looking books, you can see all that. But this chapter is a summary of Peter's message. It's like a sermon in three parts. If you imagine Peter's leaving sermon as he leaves the stage, that apostle who used to make a complete and utter hash of everything has now become the experienced Christian leader. And as he leaves the stage, he has in his farewell speech three points. God has given us everything that we need. God has given us everything that we need. God has given Christians all they need to be spiritually mature. Point two, verses 5-9. Christians must actively pursue spiritual maturity. God has given us everything we need, but Christians must actively pursue spiritual maturity. Point three, verses 10 and 11. Christians must pursue spiritual maturity if they expect to be welcomed into God's eternal kingdom. God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness, but we must actively pursue it. We must actively pursue it. God has given us everything, but we've actually got to do something with the things that God has given us. We were in France most of the time that the Olympics were on, and whilst we watched odd little snippets of the Olympics on French TV, it's not quite the same when you've got the commentary in French and they're only interested in what the French athletes do, and I wasn't really very interested in what the French athletes do. But anyway, that's an aside. You will have seen snippets of the Olympic Games and people straining for gold medals and, you know, straining to be first and straining to hit the mark and to make a mark and all the rest of it. And being British, we've started to think about London 2012 and, you know, people appearing on the media saying that the preparation starts now. Preparation, of course, requires a bit of dedication. It requires self-discipline. It's not a popular word amongst Christians, is it? It requires hard work. It requires focus and it requires determination to keep going through the dark periods with a resilience to work through the tough moments. If you wanted to be an athlete at 2012, yeah, it is sheer hard work from here on until the next Olympic Games. It's tough. It's not going to be easy. And Peter has a similar picture in mind, except the aim is not Olympic gold, nor coming first. Peter's goal is that everybody should share a life of eternity with God. The aim is to share in life with God for all eternity, not just for the next 4 years, but even to start now. And if that's our goal, we too are going to have to work at it. God has given us everything we need for life and godliness, but we need to unpack those things into our lives. Sometimes as Christians we get lulled into that perception that God will work in us. God will transform us. If only we're open to his spirit and allow him to get on with it, we can just get on with life and he can change us. Well, there is of course some truth in that actually the meaningful change in our life is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Peter says, God has given us everything we need, but we need to make an effort, folks. We have to put some work into living this out for ourselves. It doesn't happen automatically. As most of you know, we have a caravan. There's a picture of the aforementioned caravan, which we've recently used for our annual family experience. Okay, our children, you see, are still young enough for us to have a holiday and it be enjoyable, but I recognise that, yeah, Matthew's off to high school, as we mentioned, and it'll soon become, for him at any rate, the annual family experience. And we hope that he has some good experiences, but, yeah. Now, I recognise caravans are not the most popular item on the British roads. The solution to this would be to have roads like they have in France and to have speed limits like they have in France. Anyway. Actually, caravans are responsible for less than 0.07% of UK road accidents. Which is a good deal less than the media would have you believe. I'm not an evangelist for camping and caravanning, you understand? But one of the reasons that people who have caravans have accidents is that they don't make an effort. They don't use them enough. Think for a moment. If you have an old caravan that you use once a year for your annual family experience in Cornwall, for 11 months of the year, it stands idle, rotting its tyres in your back garden or somewhere. And then one Saturday in July, you fill this poor machine with bicycles, with tables, with chairs, with all sorts of stuff that you could never possibly need for a holiday, but you think you should take just in case. And you fill this poor metal object on its rather sad tyres that you haven't used for 11 months, so they're now flat at the bottom and perishing around the side. And you fill this thing so that it has the handling characteristics of an old-style grandfather clock pendulum that swings backwards and forwards. And then you set off down the M5, driving as fast as you possibly can, which actually, frankly, is not easy on the M5, until the whole thing spews your possessions all over the road, causing a massive tailback, whereupon you wonder what on earth you possibly did wrong. Caravans, like most mechanical devices, are there to be used. They need to be maintained if you're going to use them regularly. It requires a bit of work and a bit of effort. Godliness is something that's designed for us to grow into, not as a once-a-year holiday experience, but it's an ongoing development of our life with God. God has given us everything we need, but that's still going to require a response from us. God has given us everything we need. In Jesus, we have knowledge of what godliness looks like. We can see what virtue is. We can see what good character is. We know what moral goodness is like because we have seen Jesus. In Jesus, we have God's promises to us fulfilled. A new way to live, a new relationship with God, a new calling to live with God and to follow him. God has given us everything we need. The question is what we're going to do with all these things that God has given us. Whether they are, like some of Matthew's stuff, going to lurk in the bottom of his bag and we'll find them in a couple of years' time festering like some old caravan tyre or worse. God has given us everything we need. The question is, what are we going to do with what he's given us? Godly living takes effort. Godly living takes effort. The word that's used for godliness is, in fact, closely related to the words good worship. Godliness is good worship. To live a life of godliness is to live a life of good worship towards God. It means that we have a heart towards God. A heart towards God that's one of trustful dependence. An attitude of piety. A life of good worship is also to live a life of obedience. A life of obedience expressed in our desire to live out the will of God. Expressed in our desire to walk according to his ways and his standards. The mark of Christian maturity is to live a life of godliness, of worshipful obedience and dependence on God, expressed in our obedience to his will, our desire to live out his standards. That's what the Lord desires for us. That's what God's will for us is as well. He's given us everything that we need, but we need to work in godly living. Some of you read UCB's Word for the Day Bible notes. Somebody sent me an email this week with an extract of one of the days, which just struck me as I was preparing for this. So thank you for sending it. But it's and it goes like this: "It's not enough to get prepared; you must keep on going. We're told that knowledge is doubling every 5 years. So if you don't keep growing, you'll end up with coping skills that no longer match the challenge you face in the world you live in. Preparation doesn't begin with what you do. It begins with what you believe. If you believe that success tomorrow depends on what you do today, you'll treat today differently. A wise sailor studies the weather before he goes to sea because he knows that avoiding a storm is easier than getting out of one." Howard Coonley at the American National Standards Institute stated, "The leader of the future will be rated by his ability to anticipate problems rather than to meet them as they come. Preparation is not merely an event, it's a perspective. Abraham Lincoln said, if I had 8 hours to chop down a tree, I'd spend 6 of them sharpening my axe." As a young man, he'd spent time cutting stuff with an axe, and so he knew the value of staying sharp. It's not just about how we start the race, but actually about how we keep on going and keep on growing. We can have a good start, but we also need to have a good finish. Don't know how many of you over the summer months have watched snippets on God TV and internet and elsewhere of Todd Bentley. Who knows who Todd Bentley is? Todd Bentley is an American, and over the last few months he's made something of a name for himself, praying for people and seeing them touched by God. He has a slightly unorthodox technique. It's not quiet, holy piety where you gently pray for people, but he prays for people and he goes bam and shouts loudly and they fall on the floor and all the rest of it. And all sorts of things, interesting things seem to have been happening in the States. And then whilst I was away, what came out of this was that, you know, at the same time of all this stuff is going on, his marriage is falling apart, and he's having an inappropriate relationship with somebody on his staff team. And you just think, it's not about how we start, but it's about how we keep on going. Godliness is not just about pow and zap, but actually it's the long-term integrity that keeps on going week by week, day by day. That's what counts. So we're going to start this new term embarking on a season of growing into maturity. And I just wonder, as we do that, what, as you think about your own life aspects, what aspects of your life do you think need to grow? This call to life and godliness isn't easy. It's not necessarily going to be something that we can just do today and move on. Because let's face it, godliness is not easy when you're under pressure. If you work in a business environment, and I know that things like Motor Trade are selling 20% less cars than they were this time last year. That is an enormous reduction. If you are involved in a contracting organisation where you're under pressure to meet targets and to get business, this is not an easy time to be trading. This is not an easy time to be a Christian, because you'll be under enormous pressure to keep the business ticking on. You'll be under enormous pressure to be winning business. And those people that win business, even if they take a shortcut or two, will seem to be successful. Those people that wish to be godly will find it harder. It's not easy. Goodness isn't easy when you're under pressure. Goodness isn't easy when people seem out to get you, when life seems uncertain, when everything seems to be caving in on top of you. Yeah, it's not always easy. So let's not pretend that it's going to be an easy ride. But God, nevertheless, wants us to keep on growing. He wants us to keep on moving on with him. It may not be easy, there may not be a quick fix, but I bet that each one of us has an area of our lives that God wants us to grow in. I bet, I'm not actually going to do it because that's exposing people, but I bet if I walked around the room and stuffed a microphone under some of your faces, you wouldn't actually tell me because you wouldn't want to say it in public, and that's fine. But actually, for each one of us, God has something that he's wanting to work on. Yeah, we're not the people that God has finished with yet. For each one of us, there are aspects of our lives that are growth points. There's an area of our lives that God would like to change. There's something in our lives that actually, if we just worked at it with God, God would love to see us grow and move on. There'll be aspects of our lives that we rightly don't want to disclose in public, because there are things in us that are not holy and are not right and that are dark. Well, God wants to open up some of those things. God actually wants to work with us in those areas that we might be godly people in every area. Yeah, we don't have to pretend that we've got it all together and everything that we're cracked up to be. Because actually all of us know that inside us there are some pretty murky bits. And rightly we try to keep those to one side, because actually our desire is to be godly. But just as I'm walking around the room and you're fearing quite what will happen next, just think, what aspect is it in your life that God would want to work on with you over the next couple of months? What aspect of your life would God like to work on? For some it may be relating our faith to just our daily life at home and at work and so on. For others it may be overcoming a fear of commitment. For others it might be trusting God with the unknown. All of us, however, have an edge that God desires to grow. Indeed, for some of us this morning, it may be that the edge that God requires, wants you to grow in, has something to do with water and baptism. I'm almost tempted to say, put your hand up if God is talking to you about getting baptized, but you just are afraid of the commitment, or you're afraid to do it. Well, maybe for you, the thing that God desires is that you just be obedient to his call and get wet. Amen. I'm in fact sufficiently, I shouldn't slam that down, it'll never work again. I busted a couple of weeks ago and I note it's repaired whilst I've gone on holiday. It's probably recovered from being ill-treated. I'm sufficiently convinced that there are people that ought to be baptised that I bought some spare clothes. Now, I'm not the biggest individual, so if you're twice as wide as me, you'd struggle to fit them. But there are some towels. And if God is telling you that you should be baptized and that you need to get on with it, you can. After I finish speaking, we'll sing a song. And you can go to the back there'll be an elder there, he says, because if nothing else, whoever is the duty elder this morning will make their way to the back now. And you can have a chat with them, and if it's right, even before you leave this morning, you can do it. Anyway, back to the script. Baptism. Susie and Emma are getting baptised today. For them, this is going to be a landmark day. This is going to be a day that they will not forget. It's a landmark day because it's the occasion, amongst other things, where they nail their colours to the mast and say, I'm a disciple, I'm a follower of Jesus, I want to live my life with him. It's a landmark day because it marks their inclusion in the people of God, baptised by the one Spirit into the one body of the church. It's a landmark day because it's a day when the Holy Spirit promises to be here. In the case of Emma and Susie, following Jesus may yet take them in directions that they hadn't anticipated. Or indeed imagined. Following Jesus will, of course, have implications, as it does for all of us, for what they do with their lives, for the careers that they might have, for the relationships that they form, for the values that they live by. All of us, whether we're new Christians, whether we've been walking with the Lord for a few years, or now whether we've been walking with the Lord for many years, still need to hear this call to a life of godliness. A life in which Jesus gives us not only what we need for the future, but also what we need for life now. God's calling us to a life where we grow with him, where we develop, where we mature. Spiritual growth is not something that we can treat lightly. It's actually a goal that we need to give ourselves to. Body and soul, mind and spirit, every day of our lives. It's like a series of steps by which we gradually ascend, grounded in faith, but also in trust and loving God. It's a path that each one of us is called to climb. A life of godliness. It doesn't matter whether we've been walking this road for a good while now and whether we've made some sort of steps along the way or whether we're just starting out or whether or not we just frankly haven't got a clue what we're doing. God wants to call us to having a good relationship with him. God wants to call us to walk with him as we journey through life, that we might become more like him, that we might enjoy a relationship with him. So that when we climb the steps of life, we will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. As Peter concludes this section, God desires that we walk with him. He has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. And he encourages us to come, to walk with him, to grow with him. What area of your life this morning does God want you to grow in? How does God want to lead you on? What areas of your life is God working on at the moment? How can you and he work? Let's be the people that God wants us to be. Let's be the people who work with him, who desire to grow into maturity, who desire to develop as people. God created us. God wants us to be fully human and fully alive. He doesn't want us to be cardboard cutouts of one another. He's made us, each one of us, in different ways. We've got different characters. We are enthusiastic about different things, as you can see from people's response to the caravan. Yeah. God wants us to be fully human and fully alive. God wants us to grow to be the people he made us to be. God has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. So let's aim high. Let's walk with him and just see what he will do. Amen.